This is CBS Eye on the World with the New World Report. Thanks to Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. He is my guide to the continent of South America and the Central American component that's part of North America. We're going now to the very large and critical Brazil, because within these days, there has been new turmoil. You didn't think it could happen, but there's more. After the COVID, after the great number of deaths, after Mr. Bolsonaro has been outspoken in all directions, but especially about vaccinations and people surviving, the president is now turning to campaigning with a base of the poorer Brazilians because, according to this report from London, he's lost the middle class. Is that accurate, Joseph? Has Bolsonaro alienated the middle class with his controversies over the vaccination?
I wouldn't think he's permanently lost the middle class, but he has taken a dip in his popularity, and mostly has been tied to the vaccination. Some of that's real. Some of that's also disinformation that's being pushed by his political opponents and even perhaps external actors that are muddying the waters inside Brazil. And this is only probably going to intensify given that Brazil has a presidential election next year. But here's the thing. I mean, what they're charging President Bolsonaro with, crimes against humanity, I mean, these are severely exaggerated. I mean, nobody handled the pandemic well in the, let's say, the Western democracies of the world. No one in Europe, no one in North America, much less anyone in South America handled it well. Brazil is not the worst case of the pandemic when it comes to actually handling the infection or in terms of the vaccinations. That said, I think his rhetoric sometimes hasn't helped himself and probably inflicted some self-inflicted wounds. But nonetheless, I think the charge with something like crimes against humanity is a tremendous exaggeration, especially at a time when you have next door in Venezuela a dictator who literally is carrying out crimes against humanity in terms of political persecution and probably the largest self-imposed humanitarian crisis in the Western Hemisphere. On the other side, you have Evo Morales, or you'd had Evo Morales in Bolivia. You also have Cristina Kirchner, who has all kinds of corruption charges in Argentina. And then you have his most likely political rival, which is Lula da Silva in Brazil, who is a convicted criminal, someone that was convicted of public corruption. So when you have that context and then you say, okay, well, you have all that criminality surrounding you, but then you are going now to be charged with crimes against humanity, it diminishes that charge. It makes that charge seem less serious, which is a shame.
Also, Mr. Bolsonaro is making promises, and maybe he's delivering, to 400 reals or $71 a month to Brazil's poorest, despite the announcement rocked the stock market. So it looks that he's campaigning with redistribution among the poorest. Is that his natural base, the poorest Brazilians? Isn't that Lula da Silva's strength as well?
You're right, John. No, you're right. The poor in Brazil isn't a homogenous group. They're different types of poor, different geographic regions. There's the poor in urban cities versus the poor in rural areas. There's the Amazon region. So it really depends on where you go. In northern Brazil, I think President Bolsonaro receives a lot more support because among the poor in those communities is also a growing and very powerful evangelical community. And I think they are very much in line with President Bolsonaro. But the poor in urban cities such as Rio de Janeiro or Sao Paulo, some of the bigger cities in the country, you'll see a little bit more leaning towards Lula da Silva. So there's going to be competition among that. But usually, as we mentioned in the beginning of the segment, is that the middle class plays an important role in the politics of the country. And Bolsonaro is going to have to recover lost ground in that if he wants to win the presidential election next year. Right now, Lula da Silva is riding high with about 44%, if you believe the last polls that came out in Brazil. And that's something that President Bolsonaro is going to have to challenge come 2022.
So many of these problems, Joseph, suggest that it's the virus, the damage that has been done to trust between the voting public and the elected officials. We could apply that to Castillo's narrow win in Peru. We could talk about the disruptions in Colombia, the enmity towards President Duque, who was elected, after all, by a majority. And now against Bolsonaro, it's very difficult to sort this out. I don't want to just say it's the virus, but there's something else here, Joseph, besides the normal process of voting and campaigning.
Now, that's an important point, John. And yes, it's not just the virus, but The virus is what we could call an accelerator. It's accelerated all the other problems that existed in Latin America for decades. Provinces of social and economic grievances, economic disparity, political polarization, all these things have existed in Latin America for a very long time, and the virus accelerated that. And I think really, as I mentioned before, no democracy really did well in handling it, and that's globally. So in the case of Brazil, you have two waves of the virus really hitting them. First is the infection. And as I mentioned, Brazil, it wasn't the best case in the region, but it wasn't the worst case either. Peru was clearly the worst case of handling the infection and the mitigation of the virus when it hit South America. But then now you have the vaccines. And with the vaccines, there's been high levels of disinformation to make people believe that because you're not vaccinating, you're somehow willing to let your people die, which is not the case. One of the reasons that the vaccines didn't come was because of their certain barriers and because China was trying to impose its vaccine on Brazil when empirical evidence had already showed that the Sinovac China vaccine that had been tried in Chile was inefficient. It did not work. When 70% of the people that were vaccinated were continuing to go into hospitals, then that means that the vaccine is doing no good. So there was empirical and real arguments that needed to be had on the policy level in Brazil, but the disinformation tried to make it sound like President Bolsonaro wanted to have his people die, which is ludicrous. It's just not the case.
Finally, new facts to me about Mexico, our neighbor, 126 million population. But in the whole country, this is The Economist reporting, only 1,490 care homes, that would be for the seniors, geriatrics, 40,000 places. Clearly Mexico's social network doesn't much exist except for families take in their senior members, their moms and their dads. The suggestion here is that that's not stable. Is there talk in Mexico of renovating the care for the aged? One of the outcomes of the 20th century medicine is we're going to live longer. I note here several times there are 100-year-old Mexican moms who have to be cared for by their 75-year-old sons and daughters.
No, that's certainly the case, and the life expectancy in all of Latin America has actually gone up, except for countries like Venezuela. But in the rest of the region, that has gone up like it has in the rest of the developed world. And that's a good news. But now they'll be able to capitalize on that good news by establishing the infrastructure and resources necessary so that these healthcare capacities increase is a challenge. And I think President López Obrador in Mexico is probably going to be trying to meet that challenge. But again, I caution a little bit because the kind of the natural reflex of AMLO, as he's known, President Obrador, is to not move towards market mechanisms to fix these type of market challenges or even social challenges. His natural reflex is to move towards more government intervention. And that's where I'm concerned, because if he tries to impose these solutions by just basically spending more money, which then later has to either be taxed or inflated, then he's going to run into the same economic problems that the rest of the governments in Latin America have faced.
Joseph Ohmeyer, and Joseph, a tag here, from your conversations in Colombia and from your observations of this news from Chile and perhaps other countries, would it be good for us to keep an eye on Colombia's indigenous people these next weeks to see if they disrupt order if following the same thing in Chile? We have 30 seconds, Joseph.
Absolutely, John. We have to be very, very special attention to the indigenous groups in Colombia, because if I was to bet, I would say that they're going to follow the same modus operandi that they're doing in Chile and in Ecuador to relive the 2019 disruption that happened in South America.
Joseph Ohmeyer, Executive Director, Secure Free Society in the Washington area. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. And I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.